10 o'clock hour begins now with Gabe Neitzel in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All right. We short shrifted it a little bit because we wanted to get to Rob and all of his insights. And we'll hear a little bit and read a little bit of what Adam Schefter, who obviously joins your show, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy once a week, has as far as his info heading into the draft. But I don't know what we're going to get out of Goody today. Maybe a lot, probably not. For you, what do you want me to try and discern from him today? What questions do you think will get the answers we seek?
So there were two things that I was thinking about draft-related. Because, and I'm sure, again, you guys are probably going to ask some, you know, questions related to Jair. But I start with the wide receiver class. And, again, what is it about this wide receiver class that you felt you needed to bring in six different receivers for your, you know, the visits that you're allowed? Something along those lines. Because he's on the record saying, oh, I think we've got what enough in the wide receiver room. Based on his actions of bringing in this many receivers, I would say that doesn't hold up. But I don't, you can't just sit there and go, well, you said this. Why did you bring in these six receivers?
Mm-hmm.
I would say you'd have to ask it along the lines of, hey, what is it about this class that you wanted to see these six receivers? And again, going back to the Shamar Stewart thing, I would say when you are evaluating a prospect, how much do you factor in their athleticism versus their college production? Like, what's the ratio that you're kind of looking for in an ideal prospect?
Right, right. Yeah, I do want to get to, because if you look at RAS numbers over the years with Brian Gutekunst, it is a major factor in mm-hmm. the selections that he makes. You mentioned Rashawn Gary. He was a 9.95. I mean, his production, especially last year as he moved back to having his hand on the ground, I thought was curious, because the whole idea when they drafted him out of Michigan was, well, this guy's going to have to make the conversion from playing with his hand on the ground to being a stand-up outside linebacker. He goes back to being a hand-on-the-ground guy, and then we hear the, I don't want to call it an excuse, but explanation of, well, it's a transition to the new system. Okay, so he's transitioned out of a 4-3 into a 3-4, played in a 3-4, been occasionally, somewhat frequently productive, now goes back to a 4-3, and it doesn't, now he's got another grace period.
Nobody was tamping down those expectations, Jason, when he was running roughshod and early in training camp. All we heard was how great Rashawn Gary was going to look and how much of a game wrecker he was going to be in this new defense that obviously did not come to fruition.
So I am curious, and I want to get at that in a way that's smart and yields an answer, but that was the thing that was on top of my list is, you know, we've seen some of the RAS scores for guys mm-hmm. that you've drafted in the past. Can you help us understand, how do you balance that with production and film review and
yes.
see what he says to that?
Because I understand wanting the athleticism, especially at that position, Jason.
Sure.
When you take a look at the guys that have had a lot of success, clearly the athleticism is a part of it. But it's obviously based on the RAS scores for Rashawn Gary, based on the RAS scores for Lucas Van Ness. It's not the only thing. Like, there's got to be ability or coachability, something in there as well, outside of, oh, this dude's just a really good athlete.
Right.
Because there is a skill level to playing that position that Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary have yet to master.
And on top of that, I am fascinated by the wide receiver situation. I want to understand better. You brought in all these guys for visits. We don't want to read too much into it, but you know, and I know, Goody, that your track record shows that you don't bring guys in just for the hell of it, or mm-hmm. just for health checks, or just for subterfuge. Your track record shows you draft or acquire a hell of a lot of guys who come in for visits. So what does this mean in terms of how you view this wide receiver class and the wide receiver depth chart that you have these guys in for visits?
And it's not just the wide receivers, because three of them are, and I think we can also just cross Isaiah Bond off just based on some of the other things. Some of the other things he's dealing with off the field.
Indeed.
But like Torrey Horton, Ty Felton, those are later round guys. And we take a look at the offensive linemen. He brought in a lot of offensive linemen, but guys that are projected for the mid to late rounds, which makes sense to me based on needing depth at that position, wanting to backfill a little bit. But three of the six that he brought in are potential first-round wide receivers.
Correct.
In Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, and Emeka Abuka. So I think that plays into it as well. It's not just, hey, we're looking at wide receivers. Half of the ones you brought in are potential first-round wide receivers, which, again, would break a trend that we've, you know, has been going on for the last 20-plus years in Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get up there and say, yeah, if one of those guys are there, we're taking him because we need wide receiver help. But I'm intrigued to see how he answers because of where they are at wide receiver. I mean, let's be honest here. You have Christian Watson in a contract year coming off an ACL, won't be ready till November-ish. You've got Romeo Doubs in a contract year coming off of two late-season concussions and not coming to work because he was unhappy with his role early in the season. By the way, getting himself suspended for a game in his hometown of Los Angeles. So I don't know how you don't look at him and think, can we believe that this guy will be there for us if we sign him to an extension to be on our team going forward? So you've got that. And then you've got your two guys that are left from the 23 draft going into their third years, neither of whom made the one small step for man, one giant leap for wide receiver kind last season. So I love how he likes to say, whether it's about the pass rush or the wide receivers, we've got what we need to be successful. Okay, well, you got eight picks, and you got a chance to make them more successful. How are you going to do it?
His actions in terms of who he brought in, Jason, would tell a different story. And granted, you can only select one of those positions in the first round, but it is worth noting that the majority of players that, at least, again, like consensus boards, and you take a look at the way that guys like Dane Brugler at The Athletic or Mel Kiper Jr. are rating guys, the majority of the guys that you could go in the first round that he brought in are wide receivers and edge rushers.
Right.
So that tells to me that, oh, maybe you don't believe that you have everything you need in those rooms collectively right now.
Right. Actions speak louder than words. A text on the Carbless Talk and Text line, Carbless, lists is more, 844-770-3776 from a 262 number. Remember to send your name so we can put you in our contacts so we know who you are. Question for Goody, which offensive scheme is he using to evaluate players for in this year's draft? Is it the Shanahan wide zone run scheme or the inside run power scheme that we used most of last year? Look, they're going to run what seems to work best for Josh Jacobs. So if he's going to answer that question as, well, we want guys that are versatile that can play in both schemes, right? That's going to be the answer we're going to get to that question. But they clearly, to Rob's point about getting stale, remember, Mike Holmgren was only here for seven seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, you know, the handsome head coach is not a young fella no more. He's been here a while. The system has been here for a while. And as Tausch and I have talked about a lot, I believe, and I had some really interesting conversations that led me to this place. This isn't just my opinion thrown about willy-nilly. I believe that this is going to have an offense that is centered around Josh Jacobs, no blank blank, and the tight ends. That's what I believe. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to throw passes to the wide receivers. That's not what it means at all. But this offense, I believe, will flow through the run game and through Tucker Kraft, Chipotle Ben, Luke Musgrave, John Fitzpatrick, etc. That's what I think. That's where I think they're trending. We'll see if that comes to fruition. We'll see if a first-round wide receiver would change that dynamic. But as Pipe Jim points out on the private talk and text line, this show is weird. Gabe hasn't interrupted you at all. I'm going
to
stop talking.
Do you want me to do that more?
Again. No.
Do you want me to interrupt more? I can.
It is
if it
different.
Makes you, If it makes you feel more comfortable, Jason, I can butt in and interrupt. I can certainly do that if that's what you would like.
Call
that's
him a
what you would
of
like.
Names, a couple of things that just get under his skin a little bit. Yeah.
Well, Jason likes to get under my skin. I don't like to get under Jason's skin.
I don't think that's. I don't find that to be accurate at all.
Well, you just said you were hoping they would take Shamar Stewart, so I'd get all fired up.
Well, you're fun when you're fired.
This is what Tausch says about you. See?
Oh, now the shoe's on the other foot. How's it feel there, big guy?
A text from the 713 area code, which I think is Houston? Houston? 713? Fact check me on that, Jesse.
Houston, yep. You're right.
Yeah, look at that.
How'd you know that?
It's amazing how much useless information I have upstairs, but I believe my old friend Phil Aiello lived in Houston for a while, and I learned that during. I think I learned that when I went down to visit him for a weekend, and I had nothing else going on, and I stayed for like a week and a half. I was like the guest who wouldn't leave, long before Paula and the girls came along. Ask Goody, what do you look for or value in a wide receiver? What is the main quality that you desire? Now that is interesting. To me, 713, again, send your name along so we know and we can put you in our contacts. But, Gabe, they have, you know, they view wide receiver kind of like a basketball team, mm-hmm. right? They want different guys that are different shapes, that play different different positions, that are different sizes. They don't want all the same guy. But they're going to be waiting for the tall, super fast Christian Watson type guy until November. What do you think Goody is looking for in that guy? Because Abuka is not that guy.
No. I believe the Packers have just kind of, again, if you want to do a deep dive into draft nerd stuff, like they have these physical limitations. And twice, I believe, they've gone outside for it to get Jaden Reed, and then Randall Cobb would be the other one. You know, some guys that are a little bit smaller operate in the draft. Obviously, good decision to break that. Randall Cobb was a highly productive player for the Packers for a long time. Jury's still out on Jaden Reed, although he was their leading receiver the last 2 years. So it makes me wonder if somebody, even though Matthew Golden has that speed, he's under 6 foot.
Correct.
That's typically not something the Packers like to do, even though he has that speed. Same thing with Emeka Abuka. I think that's why when we talked with Rob, you heard him. I mean, just about every Packers beat person, Jason, I've heard talk about the draft. It's not a secret the Packers love Tet McMillan. Like, they want that guy if they can get him. It just doesn't seem like he is going to be the wide receiver available to them at 23. I think certainly having a certain physicality and a certain physical structure is very important to Brian Gutekunst and the Packers based on the types of wide receivers they've taken in the past.
All right, so I want you to give this some thought. I do this with Tausch sometimes and have your answer at the ready when we return. If Teteroa McMillan is him, if he's the guy, are you as a Packers fan in favor of Brian Gutekunst giving up picks to go up and get him? You consider that while I ask our fans to consider, does your shower suck? Does it look terrible? Woof, as Tausch would say. Well, if you think your shower is one of the ugliest, UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, your shower is ugly, well, upload a photo to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contests for your chance to win a free shower remodel from Kohler Services. Yes, you heard Tausch, or in my case, me, correctly. One lucky fan will win a free shower remodel from Kohler Services, including a design consultation, demolition and removal of your existing shower or bath, and installation of a brand new Kohler Luxstone shower. So upload your photo by April 30th to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contests or inside the all-new, all-redesigned, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. You can do it very easily from there as well for your chance to win. Does Gabe want Goody to go up and get Teteroa McMillan? Whatever that cost might be, to go up 9, 10, 11 spots to get Tet McMillan, is Gabe on board? We'll ask him next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, Gabe. The Dallas Cowboys are on the clock at 12. But you can hurt me tomorrow. They're saying, hey, we're open for business. You want to give up second and a fifth or whatever the cost might be? I haven't looked at my chart. To come up from 23 to up to 12, get yourself Teteroa McMillan. Are you
hoping Goody does it? I would not. I think the Packers have too many issues to address still on this roster where I would... If it ends up being a small move up, like when they moved up to get Jordan Love, I believe they gave up an additional fourth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I would not want to move up to the point where I would give up my second or third-round pick. I want all three of my first two-day picks intact. Because, yeah, it'd be great if you go get a wide receiver. Still got questions about the defensive line. A lot of questions about that defensive line. Maybe they feel better about cornerback than we do. You know, if they think that there's some guy like Kalen King that's going to continue to grow.
Right.
And they just want some depth pieces there, you know, in the third round or later, sure. But I look at wide receiver. I look at the depth, that, even the depth that they have at pass rush. Like, those are things that need to be addressed the first 2 days. So I would be hesitant to move up. And also, that just expecting Goody to move up or going, oh, yeah, this is the year Goody's going to move up. I don't think he's going to do that. He doesn't have a plethora of picks. Now, if he had an additional second-round pick from a move he made or an additional third-round pick like he did after they had traded Rasul Douglas, yeah, maybe. But I just don't see it, knowing how Goody likes to hoard draft picks. And I think they can still get a good enough player at wide receiver and still hold on to some of their other picks. It's just not worth it to move all the way up. I don't think Tet McMillan is head and shoulders above everybody else in the draft class at his position.
So if we think back to Goody's first seven drafts, there's his first draft in 2018 where he actually trades back from 14 to go pretty far back and accumulates a second first-round pick in 2019 from the Saints. And then he trades back up a few spots. Can't remember what he gave up. I think it was a fourth-round pick for that as well. A few spots to be able to take Jaire Alexander at 18. Okay, so there's that. There's the trade in 2020 when he goes up from, 30th?
Mm-hmm.
To go up to 26. Now, again, I wish we had a time machine because I would like to know, was that expressly for Jordan Love? Because they made that trade beforehand, and obviously the 22nd pick was Justin Jefferson, the 25th pick was Brandon Ayuk, and then he took Jordan Love at 26. And he's never going to say now, yeah, I was actually trading up for the wide receivers. I settled for our franchise quarterback because you want to look like you knew what you were doing. And maybe he was. Maybe he had a little post-it that said, Jordan Love no matter what. But I don't know that for certain. And then there was the 22 draft where he traded both of his second-round picks to move up to 34 to take Christian Watson with the second pick of the second round. That's pretty much the list of examples where he traded up in a meaningful way in the draft. Ted Thompson did it even less, did it for one guy, basically. I mean, there was the trade in the fourth round to get Jeremy Thompson 1 year. But the only guy that he ever really traded... That's trivia, yeah. That's useless information. Again, more kind of like 713 being the Houston area code. There's only one trade that he really made to go up, right? And that was for Clay Matthews. to get a second first-round pick in 2009.
Yeah, so, when he went back into the first round, because the Packers were in the middle of revamping the defense, trying to, going from that 4-3 to the 3-4, and they decided, hey, we need these two guys, and then they didn't have a pick again until the fourth round. Man, that was a really good draft class. B.J. Raji, Clay Matthews, and T.J. Lang were the first three picks.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Ted Thompson guy, he wasn't bad. But I mean, missed Goody, on guys, too.
So even though, certainly did. But everybody does. But I think it is worth noting that Goody, whether it was an original pick or not, has not been without a first, second, or third round pick ever. He has always made selections in all three of those rounds throughout his tenure as a general manager. Again, sometimes multiple selections because some of the other drafts that he was, or some of the other trades he was able to make. But right. He has made at least one pick in the first, second, and third round every year he has been the Packers GM.
And I expect that to continue. All right, Jesse's got a little take it to the bank presented by Associated Bank planned. Jesse, I am curious, though, did you play your prize picks this weekend? Usually you send this text message to Tausch and me as if I'm going to participate. You know, I'm going to get the itch at one point. But of your picks for prize picks of the week, did you yourself play with the NBA playoffs going on and everything else?
I did dabble, including on Friday with the Flex Friday promo, and bad news was I was not accurate. Oop, that's Rob. Sorry, you can't see me.
Wonder how Rob did with his picks.
So bad news was I did not do that well on Friday night. Good news was because it was Flex Friday, I played the free $5, used a little Flex Friday promo opt-in, so I lost, but I got refunded. That goes right back into my account because that's the perk of Flex Friday with Prize Picks. And so I was able to then go back at it and play again on Easter Sunday where I got a nice little victory. 3 out of 4 correct yesterday, looking at the NBA playoffs and, of course, baseball as well. Prize Picks is the best place to turn your sports knowledge into cash with millions of members. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least 2 players for a shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. It's the best place to win cash while watching sports. Join millions of users like Tausch and like me and sign up today. Cash in on the basketball playoffs with Prize Picks games every night the next couple of weeks. Don't miss your last chance to add your favorite players from the court to your Prize Picks lineup, whether it's points, rebounds, assists, or maybe all of it. Take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash today. Starting with the play-in round last week, every lineup you make on Prize Picks enters you into the Takes Two Tickets sweepstakes. This is fun. That could get you and a plus one a VIP trip to the ship. Jason, if I were to win this contest, would you go with me? And say, okay, great. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code WI to get $50 after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run
your
game. You wouldn't go with me to the NBA ship, as they like to say here on Prize, but you wouldn't go with me to sit courtside.
Nope. I don't like sitting courtside. I've sat there once before with my good friend David Gruber and Sydney, and I feel uncomfortable. I don't know when I'm allowed to stand. I'm looking at the Grizzlies coach's butt. Yeah, it's
stand whenever you want, Jason.
No, they want you.
You like, dictate
if you, it. If you're go in the to first, the concession, the no, I am not a celebrity. I am not David. They want you to go.
Who is?
That's fair. They want you to move while the action is going on instead of moving while play is stopped. Tausch walks through the huddle when he went to one game. Like, I don't need that kind of pressure. It's a great opportunity, and Sydney loved it. I'll just sit at press row up.
Like, when you do it in Milwaukee, that's one thing. If the Bucks aren't in it, and we're in Oklahoma City, and we're watching the Cavs and the Thunder sitting courtside,
there's no chance Jason is leaving the state of Wisconsin to watch any game involving anything unless his daughters are playing.
It's true. So if Sydney ends up playing point guard for the Thunder by the time you win, count me in. We'll get to Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Gabe, you're one of these fancy ESPN radio national hosts doing Joe and Q and Game Night and all these great shows all the time.
How Jesse, are you jealous?
No.
Would you like Gabe to put in a good word
for
you?
Everybody who knows Gabe works way too much for my taste. You know, we're all on the same page here.
That's actually very accurate.
I'd like to do like one of the things Gabe does on a regular basis. Jordan Reed did a full 7-round mock draft. That seems excessive. Is this something that gets like national run and people are like, wow, we got to look at the 7-round mock and break down what he's got in the 6th with Kansas City?
I mean, I don't think that the 6th round is necessarily for the national consumption. Obviously, I would say the 1st round, early 2nd round would probably, if Jordan is making the rounds in the different ESPN radio shows, they'll talk to him about that. I think the later rounds are for, you know, again, the draft nerds like myself.
That's
so like,
you.
Did I take a look at it today? Did I, you know, make note of some of the guys that he took later rounds, like Shamiri DK out of Florida in the 5th round? Yeah, I did notice that. I did notice that he also had Essa Pohl, a defensive tackle from Washington State, who the Packers brought in for a pre-draft visit. Also had him going in the 6th round of the Packers. These are things, yes, I was taking note of. I don't know if they'll be noted nationally or really on any other ESPN Wisconsin show other than this one right now.
And we're going to do it with Take It to the Bank, inspired by Jordan Reeves' 7-round mock draft, which you can find over at ESPNWisconsin.com. Let's start in round one. Take It to the Bank. He has Shamar Stewart of Texas A&M going to the Packers. Take It to the Bank. You trust Goody and RAS scores enough to feel good about the pick if the Packers select Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. Gabe, we know
your
answer.
I'll be all the way out on RAS scores from now until forever if Shamar Stewart ends up being the pick.
And then he becomes a Hall of Famer. I am going to take it to the bank that he is going to rely slightly less on RAS scores. Tausch was the one who made this point, that when you do something over and over and over again and you get similar results, you need to revise. You heard Rob just say a little bit earlier about the importance of revising your offense. Because things get stale. Well, maybe Goody has looked and said, all right, RAS score is always going to be important to me. I want athletes. But I can't, but a guy with, 4.5 career sacks, 1.5 last season?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bridge too far on the RAS score. I'm gonna take it to the bank that he's learning his lesson and adjusting his use of RAS scores.
I'm really curious to know, because the reason why Goody loves these RAS scores, or because like you have to have certain athletic ability typically to play that position. But I'm really curious, and maybe if I can find some free time before Thursday, I'll try to dive in and try to figure out if there's a baseline of production you need at that position in college in order to predict success at that level. Because again, you look at the best ones today. I mean, T.J. Watt obviously had production at Wisconsin. Miles Garrett was incredibly productive in his college career. Most of these guys that are up there in the NFL had production at the college level, and they just continued that once they got to the
Correct.
Pros.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Next.
In round two, Jordan Reed has the Packers taking the wide receiver from Stanford, whose name I don't know how to say. Elik Ayomanor? Is that it?
Nailed it.
All right. Take it to the bank. The Packers will draft at least one wide receiver before the end of day two. Rounds 1, 2, or 3.
Ooh, I like this one.
Gabe?
Yeah, take that to the bank. Take it to the bank. They, based on the guys that they have brought in, and even if Tet McMillan's the only one they like in the 1st round, I think they like some of these guys potentially to fall to them in the 2nd round. Whether it ends up being Golden, who I doubt because of his speed would fall that far, or Abuka. If one of these guys falls to them in the 2nd round, they're going to take him. Either way, they know they need depth. They need to start backfilling that position, because as we continue to highlight, you don't know the future of Romeo Doubs. You don't know the future of Christian Watson, not just because of the injury, but because of the contract status. So I doubt, even if you don't know if you're going to bring one of them back, both of them back, mm-hmm. neither of them back.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to start backfilling that position the way that Ted Thompson used to back in the day.
Yeah, this one, I am I'm not a wagerer, but if Prize Picks gave me 0.5 wide receivers drafted on day two by the Green Bay Packers, I'm not going to take the girls' college funds or my next mortgage payment, but I'm very confident. I don't think they get out of the first 2 days of the draft, whether it's somehow, some way, a wide receiver in round one or definitely on day two. I think they'll have a new wide receiver on their team before we start Saturday's picks.
Last up and Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank. Gabe mentioned this one. On day three, Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst, projects the Green Bay Packers to select Florida wide receiver, former Wisconsin Badger, I believe Waukesha North High School alum, Chimray DK. Take It to the Bank. Jason, if you want to go first on this one, because Tausch was getting after you for this last week.
It does happen a lot.
It makes sense for at least one current or former Badgers player to be drafted by the Packers this year. Graham Mertz, Chimray DK, Hunter Waller, among others who are in the mix as potential day three picks.
Yeah, I like Chimray DK. Is it Chimray or Chimray? I always said Chimray, but maybe I'm saying it wrong. He's a Gator now. He's not a Badger. But I'm taking the other Gator. I am going to go down with the Graham Mertz is going to be the undrafted free agent quarterback the Packers bring in after his dad played for Goody's dad at the University of Minnesota. So I'm sticking with it. I'm not changing it. Book it.
I am not taking it to the bank. I just feel like, unfortunately, the Badgers don't have a ton of draftable prospects. And the one that, and I know you guys talked about this last week with Hunter Waller on your show, that's just not a position the Packers have any need for. Don't need any safeties on this team. They're pretty set there. So I will not take it to the bank that the Packers are going to end up with a current or former Badger in after the draft is all said and done.
All right, there you have it. That is Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank, and you should take it to the bank that the best customer service in the industry belongs to Associated Bank. They've got the awards to prove it, but more importantly, they've got the perks to prove it. They've got early pay, which allows you to get access to your direct deposit from your employer up to 2 days early. They've got fraud protection. Everyone needs that, and theirs is the best. I experienced it. They prevented a major situation for me with their great fraud protection. They've got credit monitoring. You want to make sure that your credit score is healthy. Well, they make sure that you are on top of that as well. And, of course, 30,000 plus ATMs that are surcharge-free so you don't get charged to get access to your money. And on top of all that, Packers checking, Badgers checking, and Brewers checking. It's Associated Bank. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. We're going to shift gears briefly, because the Milwaukee Bucks played game one of their NBA playoff series. It did not go well. Gabe was not behind the mic. Maybe a coincidence, maybe not. But we'll talk about where the Bucks go from here with Gabe Neitzel, sometimes radio voice of the Milwaukee Bucks. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You still want to see that steady play, that steady improvement, and you didn't get it from Jordan Love?
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That just makes the stakes that much higher this season.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
How's it go, baby? Go, go, go!
Understand it, this is how actual radio shows go about their business. They talk about more than just the Packers and whatever's on Tausch's mind. Is that an accurate depiction of what happens on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy?
No. Typically, we talk about the Packers and whatever is on Chewy's mind. So I mean,
similar.
I think we follow similar formulas. Yeah, a lot of Packers and nonsense on our show.
But you talked about the Bucks today.
We did, yeah. We're in the playoffs, and when you get embarrassed in game one, turns out you're going to end up talking about it a little bit.
As the sometimes radio voice, and as someone who knows this team, not as well as our friend Justin Garcia, who's as good as it gets when it comes to knowing the Bucks, I am curious, are you concerned?
I'm not that concerned right now. And the reasons are, number one, I believe
Dame coming back.
Yeah, Dame is going to be coming back. And by the way, after he was jawing with Tyrese Halliburton, almost makes me think he's going to be back for game two versus game three. But I think that's a big part of it. Now, a lot of other things, like Dame coming back in and of itself is not enough. But this was a team, Jason, that led the league in three-point shooting as a team. They shot under 25% from three in game one. So I think that number is going to get better. And there was just, they played so poorly, and it's just so, there's some obvious fixes that can happen offensively. Just getting more movement, trying to get more people involved, shoring up some of the, I mean, Kyle Kuzma got lost on defense a couple of different times. That's why I think he only played 20-some odd minutes, only 22 minutes, I believe. Not because he was 0-5 and didn't score. I think it's because he was getting lost on defense a couple of times that led to some of those wide open threes for the Pacers. But I saw this team play really good basketball down the stretch. They won their last eight games, and a lot of it was through the strength of their defense. I think they are going to recapture that in game two. And again, Dame coming back is going to give the Pacers something more that they have to focus on defensively, other than just stopping Giannis, which they can't really do anyway because they don't have anybody who can match up with him, as evidenced by his 36 points that he scored. So I think having somebody that can knock down those shots and is just going to open up more things for more guys like Taurean Prince, who was third in the NBA in three-point shooting, only taking one shot in the game on Saturday, I think it's some pretty easy fixes right now for the Bucks to get themselves back into the series.
All right, I am getting ready to head over to Lambeau Field, so here's what's going to happen during the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about our conversation that's upcoming with Goody, as he will be at the podium to discuss the Packers' draft situation in his annual pre-draft news conference. And then Jesse and Gabe are going to play a little trivia while I get in the car and start heading to Lambeau. And then I'm going to join during the Whoa Nelly window to give your my bird's eye view, or maybe street level view, of the draft campus as I head into Lambeau Field. But before we can do that, Jesse needs to tell us, in his best Mark Tauscher here voice, about his love of Coors Light.
Mark Tauscher here for the cool, refreshing taste in the blue mountains of Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, you just need a moment to chill. Crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. And the mountains on Coors cold activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is me, Mark Tauscher's favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold, only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
When did Tausch start sounding like Jesse? When did that happen? Yeah. Did I miss something last week?
He thinks he sounds like Tausch. He thinks he does a good Tausch.
That was not one of my better performances, I will say.
You should probably sing it the way Chewy sings his live reads now.
He sings them?
Well, he did it one time. He sang his Jewelry Center live read. Yes, he just like freestyled it. It was a couple of different. I mean, I think he was going for like a college marching band fight song type of feel. But also, I think at different times it kind of shifted into like a hymn that you would sing at church. And there were a couple of different styles throughout the minute live read that he did about a week ago. Yeah.
In fairness, I think Tausch and I have done a fair share of singing with each other enough already, thanks to headlines of 2023.
Much better than the movies, from what many people have said.
According to some.
All right, well, now I'm fixated on how did Chewy go about this. Want some diamonds, want some earrings, need to come see me. Maybe that's not how it sounded.
Not bad.
It was better than what he did, but
the University of Wisconsin would like a word with me for changing the fight song. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes with Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.